The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Oh, well, was it about yard clipping? Was it because he hates Donald Trump? Does he hates you because you oppose Obamacare? You don't really know what's in someone's mind. And so it may have some relevance, but for the most part, the real question should be, are you allowed to attack someone from behind in their yard when they're out mowing their grass?
Republican Senator Rand Paul earlier today on Fox News giving his first interview since he was attacked by his neighbor. Now, there is still some dispute over what that fight was about, whether it was politics or whether it was a property line dispute. U.S. officials are confirming that North Korea launched a ballistic missile. The missile was launched to the east towards the Sea of Japan and reportedly came from the South Pyongyang province in North Korea. The Japanese Prime Minister's office tweeted, a missile was launched from North Korea, which appears to have landed within Japan's exclusive economic zone. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. Here's a great holiday offer. Call toll-free now to order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus shipping. The perfect Christmas gifts. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing more than just a rate. Does calling the company with 11 J.D. Power Awards for client service matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative technology, matter? If working with America's number one online lender matters to you, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Jerome Powell wants to be the new chairman of the Federal Reserve. Today in a Senate confirmation hearing, Powell said he wants to keep the nation's central bank independent and transparent.
I am strongly committed to that framework of transparency and accountability and to continuing to look for ways to enhance it.
Worth noting, Powell did say he expects to see some further interest rate hikes as the economy continues to grow. An Alabama businessman is throwing his name into the hat for a U.S. Senate seat. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more.
A retired Marine colonel and former aide to White House Chief of Staff John Kelly campaigning now for the vacant Alabama Senate seat as Colonel Lee Busby wants to take on candidates Roy Moore and Doug Jones. Busby's saying when he looks at those two candidates,
I don't see any background in foreign relations, military and intelligence, commerce and banking, foreign trade. I don't see that.
Busby running as a write-in candidate and positioning himself as a moderate Republican.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
USA Radio Network's UN correspondent Luke Vargas has a look at things going on across the world.
From UN headquarters in New York, I'm Luke Vargas with a selection of the day's top world news headlines. A bill to legalize marijuana in Canada has cleared the country's lower house of parliament. The legislation is a key part of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's political agenda, but it still faces potential headwinds. Senators belonging to Canada's Conservative Party wish to see legalization delayed a further year until July 2019. India's telecom regulator declared its support for net neutrality on Tuesday, announcing that discriminatory practices that could block or slow access to certain websites be restricted. That announcement stands in sharp contrast to an expected move next month by the FCC to do away with net neutrality. That could allow internet providers to wall off or dramatically slow down access to particular websites. And Pope Francis is facing criticism for failing to acknowledge the plight of Myanmar's Rohingya Muslims during a visit to the country on Tuesday. Human rights groups and the UN say the Rohingya are victims of ethnic cleansing carried out by Myanmar's military. Despite there being more than a million Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, the government refuses to grant them citizenship or even recognize them by name. Sherry Turretz, vice president for programs at American Jewish World Service, says that makes the Pope's word choice all the more important. Luke Vargas, the United Nations.
You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunter In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunter In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hey, this is Joe Peters, and we're going to get started with my Real Estate Matters show today. And they've asked me before we get going if I could give you a little recap of what's happening weather-wise. It's a pretty nice day. I went for a walk today, and can't say you didn't need a jacket, but it's on the edge. 57 degrees right now. That seems high. It's in the 50s, but 57, well, maybe it is. Who am I to tell? It's on a computer. It's got to be correct, right? We're going to have a pretty steady 3 or 4 days out there. We're going to get up to 60 tomorrow, up to 50 the next day, up to 50 again the next day, up to 50 again the next day. Some rain Friday into Saturday. It's fall. And for the end of November, getting into the beginning of September, we've had somewhat of a pretty mild fall so far. So enjoy it. It won't last. We'll be out there chipping away at that frozen stuff eventually. But for right now, that's what's going on. I'm going to play a few more commercials, and then we're going to get into some interesting talking material.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, so if that sounded a lot like me, there's really good reason for it. That is my commercial and introduction. I work for Coldwell Banker, live in the Clinton Township area in Annandale at Beaverbrook, and I work for Coldwell Banker out of the Warren Watchung area, and I do everything in between. Half of my business is in Hunterdon County, and the other half is in Somerset County. And sort of unique in that I have not stayed just like within 5 miles of where I live. I've ventured where the business is at and helping people. And a lot of the things I do in real estate is find people in Somerset County looking in areas like Bridgewater who are totally frustrated, introduce them to the very eastern parts of Hunterdon County, and eventually turn them into Hunterdon County citizens as well. But in other cases, I find people looking in Somerset, and we find what we're looking for. So it works both ways. Joe Peters, Coldwell Banker, 908-238-0118. Today I'm going to talk a little about the hierarchy in real estate, as to what you have to do to be an agent, and in effect who you work for and what organization that organization fits within. First thing you need about, I'd say a couple of hundred hours worth of instruction. And then as a result of that couple of hundred hours of instruction, you need to be tested. And as a result of that, you either pass or you don't. And quite honestly, if you take it quick enough after the indoctrination, you'll pass, because over time you forget half of what you learned. It's like any other business, and you can always look it up again. And then you learn by doing it redundantly until it becomes rote. And then you don't have to look it up any further. So as an agent, you have to belong to an agency. And I, for 14 years, worked for a wonderful agency called Weikert in Clinton, New Jersey. And in the last 12 months, I switched over to Coldwell Banker in the Warren Watchung area. And main reason for the change was I felt their technology had more to offer for what I was looking for and I was trying to bring to my customers. Plus, it brought me into a higher rent district in the Warren Watchung area. So, as an agent working for Coldwell Banker, I have to belong to a local county realtor association. And in my case, it's Hunterdon Somerset Association of Realtors. If you go past County Line Road on 22 and you look to your right going towards New York, you'll see a great big gray and white building on the end with a big R on it. That's our HSAR, or the Hunter and Somerset Association of Realtor Building, and I serve on the board there. We represent about 2,250 realtors, and you can belong to either that, or you could belong to North Central, which is more Morris County and above, or you could belong to Middlesex. They've got a new name. It's not coming to me right now, but it used to be Middlesex Board of Realtors, or Ocean, or Monmouth. So you have to belong to an agency, and as a result, your agency and you have to belong to a board of realtors. Then that board of realtors reports up to the state, which is the New Jersey Association of Realtors, NAR, and that governs the entire state as far as the rules that we follow, as far as the code of ethics that we follow, and as far as how we govern ourselves. And then on the national level, there is the National Association of Realtors. So there's local board, HSAR, Hunter and Somerset, New Jersey, NJR, used to be JAR, and then National Association of Realtors, NAR, is our national, and it governs all states and multiple countries. So why I went through that today is I want you to understand, as a result of a survey that is done once a year, what we're finding as interesting trends in the industry. One of the most useful research projects of the National Association of Realtors, or NAR, is an annual survey of home buyers and sellers. It's particularly useful because it shows how sellers and their agents, it shows sellers and their agents what works and what source buyers use to find their new homes. The 36th year of NAR has conducted this, and we're looking at the 2017 profile, which was done in the last 12 months. This information is the result of a 131-question survey mailed randomly to 145,000 consumers who purchased properties in 2016 and 2017. Names and addresses were provided by Experian, a company that maintains an extensive database of recent home buyers, and is derived from county records. After accounting for undeliverable surveys, there were a 5.6% response rate. So if you took 145 times 5.6, I think you would have somewhere, if it was 10%, 14,000. We're probably dealing with about 7,000, 8,000 responses here. In 2016, the first-time home buyers constituted 32% of the market. That was on a statewide basis. If we look at Hunterdon County, we're going to find that that's much higher. This is the lowest participation rate for the first-time buyers since 87, 30%. This year, 2017 first-time buyer rate was 34%. Geographically, higher percentage for first-time buyers was in the Northeast, 43%, as I said. And over the years, historic norms for the county have been in the 40%, for the country have been in the 40% range. A much more low down payment mortgage program, as much more low down payment programs come into the market, there may be a good chance of returning to those norms. The most useful information for the sellers and their agents to be found in this section of the home search process. While the survey results are not significantly different from those of recent years, the trends continue. For example, this year, 86% of our buyers said they used the internet frequently during the search process. In 2003, that was only 42%, so it's doubled, 55%. That's the newest and growing, and they use mobile or tablet applications, and that is the newest phenomenon, where they're not going back to their computer. I do this myself. I work on my computer from when I get up till about 8 o'clock when I go off to meet my day or at a meeting or with customer activities or office activities. And from that point on, I rarely look at the computer. I work off my phone. And I happen to use what we call a phablet, which is a large handheld telephone, and it's big enough that it's considered a phone and a tablet. But other people use a tablet. A lot of people use laptops. I do have a laptop with me if I need to do something extensively, but 95% of what I need to do I can do over my phone. I happen to use a Samsung Note. 2 years ago, it was only 41%. So we're moving up, and 68% of the buyers said they frequently relied on a real estate agent for information. 42% of the buyers went to the internet for the first step of home search. And I can tell you that's true. When somebody calls me, they're looking to get in a specific house, not trying to find homes to get into. 17% contacted real estate agent first. Sometimes that happens, but as you can see, it's the minority, 17%. And 6% began looking in neighborhoods, driving through and looking at homes for sale. Everybody's got their own way of getting started. How can driving around be an option? Half the homes purchased are within 15 miles of the buyer's previous residence. So it's not a bad way to get started. As I said, everybody's got their own way. And I think getting started is the main thing. How you get started is really not a consequence. But once you do get started, your agent, such as myself, can give you a lot of automated tools in order to help you and make your home search process a lot more bountiful. And 8% of home buyers began the process by talking to a mortgage consultant. The oldest school is get your customers qualified, and you still have to do that. But I can usually, from talking to a customer for a half hour and showing them a couple of houses over the course of 2 or 3 hours, pretty well qualify a customer myself. I can think of only two times in the last 14 years I was dead wrong. So what I typically do is not send them to a mortgage person first. I send them to a mortgage person second, and I try to explain that they may be qualified to buy much more than they're thinking about because of some newer loan programs that are out there. And in talking to a mortgage person, they will better understand that. They may not want to go up to that level. A lot of people still like to work on salary. I tip my hat to that. But I don't personally typically send people to talk to a mortgage person before I get started with them unless they're really questionable, and I do send them usually before we go out a second time. Buyers use multiple sources of information in the process of looking for a home. Far away, the most sources are online websites. 95% of real estate agents on-site websites was 95%. Real estate agents, 89%. Mobile or tablet apps, 74%. Have replaced yard signs in the most source of information. We still use yard signs, but they're not the biggest source of advertising. Still, though, 48% of buyers indicate that the yard signs are one of the sources of information, and only 15% of buyers indicate that they use newspaper ads as an information source. A mere 2% said that they garnered information from television. I don't know how you could find information about your real estate needs from television. You can find information about real estate, but finding a house, I'm not sure, unless there's some hyper-local programs in your area. And the newspaper has become fairly obsolete. I tell people I put their ad in the newspaper so that they can see it there. It doesn't necessarily bring them buyers, and in most cases, we try to zero in on who's going to buy your house by profile. If it's a person between 35 and 55, they're probably not reading a newspaper or not using a newspaper to find a house. They're using newspapers differently, and in most cases, and I'm into my 70s, our people are not using newspapers at all, as I am not, because I get a daily digest of news delivered to me from several resources each day, and it gives me everything I'm looking for. I'll give you a great example. I thought it was quite funny. I had an associate working with me last year in his early 20s, and we had an older couple, and they were quite perturbed that not enough people came to their open house. They had an open house. I didn't run the ad in a newspaper that weekend, and only two people showed up, and they felt it was a waste of time. They got the house all ready, and nobody showed up. And I said, I'm going to tell you something. The person that's going to buy your house isn't going to be reading a newspaper. they're going to be, as I just described, using online resources. And it's out there online. It can be changed instantaneously, and that's how most people are finding it. But I said, look at my associate here. His name happened to be Kyle. I said, Kyle, how often do you read a newspaper? And he blew me away. Guy in his early 20s, pretty astute, good student of mine, now standing on his own selling real estate in Warren County, said, I've never read a newspaper in my life. I was dumbfounded. A 20-year-old, somewhere in his young 20s, never read a newspaper in his life. That's what we're facing. The world is changing, and these numbers are reflecting it. Well, there's not a lot of intriguing data about some sources of information. There are a lot of intriguing used by Prospectomics. Certainly the most relevant has to do with what they actually found, where they actually found the home, and that they eventually purchased. This year, the information source that was the highest category, 49%, was the Internet. Half the people found the home they purchased on the Internet. Agents are the second, because once I zero in on a profile, I send them listings every morning. Note that this is not to say that the buyers bought their home through the Internet. They typically bought it through an agent, but they're using the Internet as the biggest source. The typical scenario would be that the customer sees the home on the Internet and then contacts his or her agent, me. 88% of those who use the Internet to search purchase their home through an agent. There's no reason as a buyer not to use an agent. An agent does all the work for you, holds the transaction together for you, and gives you information you can't obtain as a non-professional. The difference in a little more than a decade is fascinating. In 2001, 48% of the buyers learned about their home through a real estate agent, and only 8% found their home on the Internet. Times have changed. Some things, though, remain persistently the same. Or close to it. In 2001, a yard sign was the third most likely source of information leading to the home that was purchased, 15%. And this year, it's still a third leading source, but now it's only 7%. It's dropped in half. So it was the third most then, it's still the third most, but it's dropped from 15 to 7%. Fourth time in a survey that this has been lower than double digits. Point media may be dead, print media may be dead, but it's not, may not be dead, but it shrunk in its significance. 7% of home buyers found their home ultimately purchased through the newspaper. 7%. In 2017, it was only 1%. So in 2001, it was 7%. In 2017, it was 1%. And it's been that way for 5 years. Fewer than 1% found their home through a home book or a magazine. Now, NAR publishes this. You can go to NAR.com and look for the 2017 profile for home buyers and sellers. And you can print an excerpt of it, which gives you some information, or you can buy the whole thing. And I don't recall what it is, but it's not a lot of money. It's like $45 or something. Quite honestly, I think after we go through the next half hour, you're going to know as much as you need to know. But that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go a little deeper in each one of these subjects. So once again, it's Joe Peters. I'm with Coldwell Banker, and I can be reached at 908-238-0118. I specialize in residential real estate along Route 78, plus or minus 10 miles from the Clinton area all the way over to the Warren Watchung area. So Senate tax reform. This is an issue that keeps coming up, and we're going to talk about it before we finish. But I'm going to finish on the profile of the buyers that we're working with. Single females make up a larger share of sales. I love this sort of tout this statistic. You see, 70% of the homes that we sell do not have a child of school age in it, a school age child, no child under 18. 50% don't have two people in it, and 30%+ are headed by a single female. Solid job prospects, higher income, impressive credit conditions, improving credit conditions, all translated to a continued momentum for the growing share of single female buyers. At 18%, matches the highest since 2011, single women were the second most common household buyer type behind married couples, which is 65%. Furthermore, single women purchased slightly more expensive homes than single men, despite earning less. The overall share of single male buyers, 7%, remained below unmarried couples, and 8%. Okay, let me say that again. The overall share of single male buyers, 7%, remained below unmarried couples, 8%, and for the second straight year. Down payment amounts decreased for the first time buyers, and it rose for repeat buyers. So that's sort of an interesting phenomenon. The ongoing climb of home prices has pulled the typical down payment for first-time buyers to 5% this year, 6% last year, which makes the lowest from 2013, meanwhile the higher home values likely gave more sellers the wherewithal to use the cash from their recent sale to make a bigger down payment on their newer home purchase, 14%, and that was 11% in 2016. Repeat buyers' sale proceeds from their previous purchase, 55%, surpassed their own personal savings, 50%, this year, and as a larger source of their down payment. Personal saving ranked first for first-time buyers as the primary source of down payment, and followed by a gift from a friend or a relative, 25%, 24 last year. Over half the first-time buyers said it took more than a year to save for the down payment, and 25% for saving was most difficult task in the entire buying process. I got to admit, when we take a look, and you got to address the millennials, you might look at them as, my God, why do I even have to hear about them? But they're probably going to buy your house from you, so you need to hear about them. Millennials today in the home buying age are the people that are between 25 and 35, maybe 36, 37. They're buying, have bought about 24% of the homes so far in the area. About 24% of our current Central Jersey houses have been sold to millennials. That number could be more like 40 to 50% if we had enough houses in the millennial purchasing target price, which is 250 to 350. But right now, they're important. The age of the first timer stays flat and climbs to a new survey high for repeat buyers. For the second straight year, the median age for a first time buyer was 32. Now, this used to be down around 25. First-time buyers had a higher household income, $75,000, than a year ago, $72,000. Purchased slightly smaller home, 1,640 feet, than a year ago, 1,650 feet. It was more expensive, $190,000 versus $182,500 last year. Fewer first-time buyers purchased a home with an urban area of 17%, and it was 20%. So we're seeing more of a cluster to cosmopolitan areas than urban. And we're seeing that definitely in Hunterdon County. Just to digress, I attended a planning board meeting for Hunterdon County this morning, and I heard two statistics that I thought was amazing, that in effect, Hunterdon County, of all the farmland protected areas in the state of New Jersey, 70% of it resides within Hunterdon County. And in doing that, we have some 36,000 acres farmland assessed. That's about 25% of our, I think we have 124,000 acres. So that's a substantial. We're in an urban, we're in a non-urban area. We're in more of a, rural area. The age of repeat buyers increased to an all-time survey high of this year from 54 years old from 52 the year earlier. As the households, older households, perhaps with plans to stay in the workforce longer with an eye towards retirement, felt more comfortable about buying. There's a couple of reasons for that. Overall, repeat buyers had roughly the same household income as last year, 97.5 versus 98, and purchased a 2,000 square foot home, unchanged from 2,000 the year before, and costing $266 on the average versus $255 the year before. So You've got first-time buyers, and when they buy something, the person that sells it to them becomes a repeat buyer. The repeat buyer is buying an average of 266. I like to say first-time buyers are 150 to 3, repeat buyers are 250 to 400K. Beyond that is maybe a secondary repeat, like a third-time buyer. But the interesting point is a lot of people didn't sell their house at the end of 7 years and move on and do something different, which they usually do because the last 10 years was a very rocky economical roller coaster ride. So we have a lot of people that are in their house 10 or 12 years, and as a result, they have a lot more equity in their house now than a typical repeat buyer does. And as a result, they can buy a bigger house. Secondly, the longer they stay in their house past 10 years, the more money per month goes towards equity and not their mortgage interest, and that equity is building rapidly. So that contributes to that factor. Supply scarcity leads to increase in buyers paying list price or higher. I can tell you that is the fact in both Hunterdon and in Somerset County. Underscoring the supply and demand imbalance prevalent in many parts of the country, 42% of the buyers paid list price or higher for a home, which is up from a year ago, which was 40%. The new survey, high since tracking began in 2007, buyers in the West are the most likely, 51%. So we're not bad compared to buyers in the West. Many of those in the market to buy a home this year had little room to negotiate, and listings in the affordable price ranges drew immediate interest in winning offers that had time to waive some contingencies or come in above the asking price and to close the deal. If there is a house on the market and the house on the market is somewhere in the hotspot price point, let's say it's in the 150 to 3 where the first time buyers are, or the 250 to 4 where the second time buyers are, and it's clean and it's priced right, it's going to sell the day it comes on the market. I don't care if you're in Hunterdon or Somerset. Now, the further west you go, the larger the problem comes in time to sell. So there's two factors in the price of your house. One is your price point, and second is your location. So a 250 house in Somerset County is almost unheard of. A 250 house in Hunterdon County sells very quickly, unless you're out in Alexandria and Holland, and then it's probably a 175, and it takes a while because people just aren't going that far west anymore. Most buyers search for homes online and then use a real estate agent. That's a fact. I've got to tell you, when I first meet a buyer, and you got to look at my sources for finding buyers, I sit open houses, I work my existing sales, I sell several hundred houses, so I keep in touch with the people that are still in the area, asking if they have any relatives or friends that would be in the business this area. And then we actually call into listings that have expired or people have withdrawn or for sale by owners and talk to those people. And when I start dealing with a buyer or a seller, that person has got much more experience in information than the typical buyer or seller had just a few years ago because of the internet. There's a Verizon commercial where the guy is talking to the kid, and the kid says, oh, you need, I don't know, some technology. I think it was Fios. And he says, where'd you learn that? And the kid said, on the internet. It's like, okay, you can learn just about anything you want on the internet. But understanding supply and demand imbalances is prevalent amongst many parts of the country. 42% of the buyers said they paid list price or higher, and that I can believe in certain price points. You get above in Hunterdon County, 500, it starts to soften. You get over, Somerset County gets about 20% more because it's closer to New York. You get up to sevens before it starts to soften. But a clean house below 5 in Hunterdon County is probably going to sell quickly, and a clean house below 7 in Somerset County is probably going to sell quickly, unless That clean house is on a busy road. That clean house is next to a noisy school. You know, some reasons that make a house sell, take longer to sell, even though they're clean. But in the markets where we have not enough inventory, and I really mean it, that we could double our sales in those markets if we had just inventory to sell, you are going to find that clean houses, priced accordingly, are going to sell at asking, if not a little higher, and they're going to sell very quickly. Secondly, if a house sells in New Jersey, and we look at the whole state as an average, the average sale price at the end of the transaction, not when it got first listed, because a lot of people list houses ambitiously. It's a mistake, but they do it. And let's say the house is worth $500. They want to try it at $550 because the house down the street sold for $550. They don't realize that guy's got a new kitchen and an in-ground pool and a finished basement. But when they finally get the house at a price that somebody makes an offer that they accept, it sells within 2 to 3%. And that's offset by the first-time buyers in those first-time and first straight-up, the 150 to 3 and the 250 to 4 range, which are probably selling above. Buyers report less difficulty obtaining a mortgage. There is mortgage money available. You need three things. You need a job. You need some decent credit. And you need to be in a career that has got upward mobility. So if you got a job as a chemist and you've been there a couple of years and you've kept track of your credit cards and you haven't missed any payments and you're up to date on everything and you haven't maxed out the cards, as they say, all you need beyond that is a little bit of cash, some down payment money and some money to pay the closing costs, usually about 6% between them on a minimum. But the higher you get as far as down payment, the better off you're going to get as far as private mortgage insurance. But mortgages are less difficult to obtain. Nearly all buyers choose a single-family home in the suburbs. Now, single-family could be a... I'll just go for the statistics. 85% small-town or rural areas as opposed to 13%, 14 last year, in the urban areas. 83% of homes purchased are detached single-family homes. And for the third straight year, since 2004, it was 87%. Purchases of multifamily homes, including townhouses and condos, were about 11%. Now, that depends where you're at, but I think they're pretty good statistics. If you're in Hillsborough, probably a good third of Hillsborough's condos and townhouses. If you're in Clinton Township, probably 10% is. So it depends where you're at, but I think those are good percents. You're looking for detached homes, and you're only going to settle on a townhouse for one of two reasons, or condo, is if you can't find a single family in your price point, or you don't want the maintenance or responsibility of the exterior work on single on townhouses that townhouses and condos relieve you from. Most buyers search for homes online and then use a real estate agent. I think we've been through that. But that is the case. And homeowner tenure at an all-time high, equity and share of repeat buyers climbs. Let me read the details on it. The typical seller over the age of 55 has had a household income of $103,000. Last year it was $100,000. And was in the house for more than 10 years. I said that earlier. Matching the all-time high since 2014. And a year ago, prior to 2009, sellers consistently lived in their homes for a median of 6 to 7 years. So I went through this a little from my personal experience. With home values steadily rising over the past several years, sellers realized that median equity and gain 47.5, 43 last year at 26% increase, 24% last year, was the original purchase price. Houses sold after 21 years of ownership, had the largest equity gain because you're paying it down. And I won't go through those statistics, but you can imagine that it's even better yet. The percent of share of buyers trading up increased for the third straight year, 52% from 46%. And in 2000, 40% of the buyers purchased a larger home. So here is the anatomy of a home purchasing cycle. First-time buyer, 250 to 150 to 3. Second-time buyer, 250 to 4. Third-time buyer, probably 350 to 5. Fourth-time buyer or a move-in, move-out, executive transfer is probably in the 5 to 650 range. That's Hunterdon County. Add 20% to that if you're in Somerset County. You are looking at a person owning maybe 3 to 4 houses. Gone are the days that I've lived in that house 51 years. It still happens, but it doesn't happen frequently. And every 6 to 7 years, according to the study, people used to trade up, trade down, trade sideways. Now, in the last 10 years, it's been delayed, and there's almost minimal activity for about 5 years on trade-ups. But right now, what we're seeing is there's such a scarcity of homes, even where you want to trade to, that people aren't putting their house up for sale until they find one that they want. And then they get into this paradox of, I can't sell my house quickly enough to buy the house I found. But if I listed my house before I found the house I wanted, it would sell and I'd have no place to go. And that is what leads to the shortage of houses. Sellers using an agent remain all-time high for sell by owners at all-time low. As a buyer, it costs you nothing to use an agent. As a seller, agency fees are negotiable, but I would tell you the average fee is going to be somewhere between 5 and 6% to sell your house, and there's a lot of work that gets done for that, and it doesn't go all to the selling agent. The selling agent takes the, let's say it's 6%. 3% goes to the buy side. That gets split between the buyer's agent and the buyer's agent's agency. And on the sell side, 3% gets split between the selling agent, the listing agent, a lot of times myself, and the listing agent's agency. Depending on your contract with the agency that you work on, it could be as low as a 50-50 split with the agency, or it could be much higher. And the higher, it's like any other sales position, the more you sell, the more they let you keep. It's a reward system, an incentive system. So sellers use a real estate agent. Using a real estate agent, it's an all-time high at 89%. That's a good number, because to not use a real estate agent means you're giving up the biggest benefit you as a seller or a buyer has, and that is the glue that the agent becomes in holding these transactions together. And for this, in turn, for the third straight year, held sale-by-owner sales to 8%. And which is the lowest share in this study's history. An overwhelming majority of sellers were satisfied. But let me tell you why a for sale doesn't work, for sale by owner, FSBO they call it, which are the initials for sale by owner. One, you need to have a way of marketing your house, and I call that exposure. It needs to be in front of as many people as possible, and it needs to be put there in the most professional way as possible. When you bring in a professional agent like myself, what I do is bring in professional stagers for consultation. I bring in professional photographers. We print professional brochures. I have professional digital marketing people getting it out as many places as possible, and my company has some tricks to tell me where your buyers are coming from in that price point, in that zip code, so that I can market directly to them, not found in many other agencies, in most other agencies. Homeowners understand the value of an agent and seek the expertise and guidance from realtors, bringing to the table what they need to sell their own home. Despite incredibly favorable market conditions for sellers, we're finding interested buyers not the problem. They all turn to realtor in order to help assist them through the intricacies of listing their home in the market, accepting offers, negotiating a sales price, and closing the deal. If I have a seller, very rarely does that seller meet the buyer till we sit down at the closing table. all of the initial negotiation goes between the two realtors. And then once we enter attorney review, subsequent negotiations go between the two attorneys. And after that, back to the realtors to keep the deal together. And there may be a final walkthrough, or do you want to buy this? It's for sale rather than sell it to one of the neighbors. Conversation very near to the end, but in a lot of cases they never meet each other until the closing table. And I've got to be honest with you, closing tables with both sides at them is a rarity. Most of the sellers do not come to this closing table any longer, and I've gone to a lot of closings where the buyers haven't been there. It's been closed by the attorneys and the title people. So that's what we're finding. And how can you use this to help you? I think what you need to do is formulate your own questions, whether you're a buyer or a seller. If you're a buyer, it's like, okay, where do I want to look? What kinds of houses? What can I afford to buy? If you're a seller, it's how much can I get for you? Sellers have one thing in mind, price. How much can I get for my house? But your house isn't necessarily going to sell for the same price that the identical house down the street sold for 3 months ago. The person moving in might have had 3 days to find a house, paid more money for that house. It's sort of supply and demand. There might have been one house on the market then. There's three more very similar to yours now, so they got more to choose from. A lot of times what we're starting to witness is that the sellers, especially in the higher price points, are meeting higher price points yet that can't sell. So houses that are in the eights and nines are competing with the houses in the fives and sixes a lot of times. If not at the same price point, just that incrementally not too much more, that people will say, you know what, rather than pay this guy $575, this other house has 2,000 square foot more and all of these features and it's 6.25, why don't we buy that and enjoy the house immediately rather than finish the rec room ourselves and put the pool in the backyard. So you get that kind of logic. My name is Joe Peters. I represent Coldwell Banker. I do residential real estate across Hunter and Somerset. I'm going to play my commercial one more time, and then we're going to go to the news. I appreciate you tuning in. We will have another show. This is my last show for the month. I'm going to be on vacation for 2 weeks, and when I return, I will give you what's happened in real estate for the month of November. Thank you for tuning in, and I appreciate your listening.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Was a ballistic missile fired at an eastward trajectory that would be potentially out over the water. We don't know its range. We don't know its capability. We don't know its potential payload.
NBC National Security Analyst Jeremy Bash reacting to the fact that North Korea launched a ballistic missile. The launch reportedly came from South Pyongyang province in North Korea. Bash also says North Korea doesn't want to wait to determine if a missile strike will succeed or not.
The North Koreans basically put up science experiments, and they look to see what went wrong, and they learn as much from their failures as they do from their successes.
Democratic leaders of both the House and Senate decided to skip a meeting today with the president regarding the debt ceiling after the president sent a tweet. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell doesn't seem too happy that the Democrats decided to bail on the meeting.
That strikes me as a lack of seriousness about the matter before us, which is the funding of the federal government of the United States.
You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Ah, the sounds of the holidays. But when you have a million things to do, they can sound much different. So Staples is here to make all those sounds merry sounds. With great deals on laptops, tech accessories like keyboards, earbuds, and modems. The latest modems. Staples has great prices on just the right tech solutions all season long. Staples, more holiday fun, less holiday hassles.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
A federal judge is not yet ruling on the power struggle with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The judge in Washington, D.C. is giving government lawyers more time to file arguments against Leandra English, who claims she should be the acting director after Richard Cordray resigned last week. President Trump believes it should be his appointee, Mick Mulvaney. Co-writer of the Dodd-Frank Act, Barney Frank, said it's pretty clear-cut as to who should be in charge.
If it had been our intention to simply have the Vacancy Act govern this, there would have been no point in writing something subsequent.
Today is Giving Tuesday, but for some, they think it's actually a license for them to take. Alyssa Z has more.
We've made it through Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Now comes the flurry of delivery activity. Officials warn, though, with so many packages headed to our doorsteps, the porch pirates may be coming out in droves. It's suggested by some that we invest in those easy-to-use, self-installed security systems that can catch the thieves in the act. The surveillance video, police say, can help them grab the Grinches and return the gifts.
You're listening to USA Radio News.